Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family we go. He struggled to carry a tree up the mountain. This week, we're going to be in John chapter 20. Are you all ready for a word from God today? Well, good, because I came ready to preach one. That's why I had to take my suit jacket off and all of that. I know that I'm going to be cooking and I'm going to be roasting before all of this is said and done, but I'm really excited to preach this morning. I'm really excited to share this time with you because today is the day. I mentioned this earlier. Today is the best day. Today is Easter Sunday. This is the day that defines our faith. This is the day that defines the story of Jesus. This is the day that defines the story of your life. That as we as Christians live our lives, this is the day that gives all of our lives meaning. This is the day that defines our life. This is the day where we discover that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when His heart beat, it mattered for everyone. And so as we gather together today, I am so excited to share with you this morning. The last 3 weeks, we've been looking at moments that surround the death of Jesus on the cross, His moment with Simon of Cyrene, His moment with the criminals that are being crucified around Him, and the moment of His last words. And last week, as we read through Jesus' last words, the verse ended with this: "With that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit." Jesus was dead. He had passed away. He had gone. His body was no longer alive. He was dead. And as He passed away, His body had been taken down from the cross. And actually, against protocol, His body had been buried. Protocol for someone who had been crucified was to literally throw their body in the garbage. That outside of Jerusalem, there was a place where they would burn all the garbage from the city. That was how they got rid of their garbage, was they just burned it all. And protocol, if you were crucified, was for your body to be thrown into the garbage fire. Partly as a symbolic message of what Rome thought of you, and partly because usually with these people that were being crucified, there was nobody who wanted their body. There was nobody who was going to claim them, to take ownership of them. These were the lowest of the low, as we talked about a few weeks ago. They were the kakiragos, the doers of evil. And so nobody particularly wanted them. Rome wanted to make a point, so they threw their body into a trash fire. But not Jesus. Jesus' body wasn't destined for the garbage fire. But there was a rich man named Joseph, and he had made arrangements for Jesus to be buried in his tomb. So Jesus' body was brought there into a garden, and He was placed in a burial tomb, and that was on Friday. And there's this Christian saying that says, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. It may be Friday, but heaven started counting down from three. And the days passed, and the moments passed, and then in John chapter 20, Sunday is here. And it says this: "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance." Now, just for a moment, I want to jump to the book of Luke, because Luke gives a lot more detail about what takes place at the tomb. Luke was a physician, he was a doctor and a researcher, and so as he looked into all of this, he gives the most detail of what takes place. And what he records is this in Luke 24. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" Jesus was alive. And that's my first point for you today. Jesus is alive. Everything about Jesus is alive. Nothing about Jesus is dead. Not a portion, not a percentage, not a sliver. Everything about our God is alive today. He is alive and well, just as good as he was the day he got up out of the grave, and he is as good as that today. The Bible tells us, in fact, that right now, today, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of his Father, and he's praying for you. In Romans chapter 8, it says, Christ Jesus, who died, but more than that, Sunday came, who was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Interceding means praying. Jesus is praying for you right now. Jesus is praying for you. He is praying for your home. He is praying for your soul. He is praying for your future. God himself is praying for you because Jesus is alive. We have not gathered today to pay tribute to a God that once was. We are not here to celebrate old traditions and old stories, old religion. The difference between our God and any other God, our God is alive. My God is not dead. He is alive, and he is active. He is an active God. He is moving, he is working, he is changing things, he's changing us, he is molding us, he is convicting us, he is comforting us. God is active, and he's active in your life today. He is talking to, he is reminding you, he is leading us, he is guiding us. God's not dead. He's alive. The Bible says, and it says up on the wall right there in Hebrews chapter 8, or chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When that angel declared, he is not here, he is risen, Jesus is as risen today as he was then. Jesus Christ is the same today as he was then. Jesus Christ will be the same tomorrow. He was risen then, he's risen now, and he will be risen tomorrow. Scripture will say that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is active and working in your life today. Even as we walk through seasons of our lives that we go through, Jesus is alive and working in your life. 2 Timothy will tell us that even when we're not faithful, he's going to remain faithful. You can get yourself in the most wicked, evil, debaucherous situations, and God says to you, I am right there with you. I am right there, loving you, caring for you, helping you out, speaking life over you, praying for you. I'm never going to turn my back on you. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I died on the cross for your sins. I rose from the grave to defeat sin in your world, and I want to make you more alive today than you have ever been. Jesus is alive. He is all around. He's always on the move, always with you. He is always faithful. Jesus is alive. Do you believe in a live God today? Do you believe we serve a God who is alive today? He is risen, and we get to be a part of that. We don't serve a God who we just have to look back at. We serve a God who wants to work in your life right now. The story continues in John chapter 20. Oh, there we go. She came running, Mary, came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's John talking about himself. John will refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. We can find that out by comparing the stories in other gospels where people will talk about John, and then in the book of John it will reference the disciple whom Jesus loved. So Mary came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, they've taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Mary is so shook by this experience. by this moment of being in the tomb, and suddenly these angels with lightning clothes show up and begin to speak to her. She's so shook, she runs away looking for someone to talk to. And she goes and finds Peter and John and the other disciples and says that something has happened. Her mind just isn't able to keep up with everything that's going on. She sees the angels. They talk to her. And she hears the words, but everything is so overwhelming, she can't fully grasp what's just happened. And I think that's understandable. I'm sure you've had these moments in your life where from the outside, everything that's being said, and cognitively for us, we're aware that we're hearing these words and we know what the words mean. But everything that's happening is so swirling and crazy and just so hard to wrap our minds around that even though we know what's happening, we can't understand what's going on. That we know the words that are being spoken, but they don't mean anything. They don't make any sense to us. And the angel tells Mary exactly what's going on. But she runs back and finds Peter and John, and in her overwhelming moment just says to them, look, the body's gone and I don't know where it is. There's a whole lot else to the story, but the body's gone and I don't know what happened. And so Peter and John take off. But John makes an interesting note here. He just makes a note and says, hey, everybody, just so you know, I won. I was the fastest. It's not a big deal. No brag, just facts. Peter and I left at the same time, but I beat him. I'm the faster disciple. Just so you know, it's not relevant to the story, but I just thought you'd like to know. Verse 5, he bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen hanging there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him. Finally, slow poke. You know, I was there first, right? Just so you're aware. Don't forget, I know it's been a verse since I reminded you, but just as a quick little reminder, the disciple whom Jesus loved was there first. Then Peter showed up. So Peter comes along, and it says, along behind him, and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now Peter makes his way to the tomb, and rather than just observe, Peter needs to experience. He needs to investigate. So Peter, being Peter, just... there's no pausing, there's no stopping, just runs into the tomb. And he sees this amazing sight. The tomb is empty. Jesus is certainly not there, but all the strips of linen, all the cloth that had been wrapped around him, it was all still there. The evidence of what had happened was still, there was evidence of what had taken place. We need to train our eyes to see that Jesus is alive and working in our lives. To see the evidence that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is working in our lives. We need to be looking at our lives and look and see that God has been good, that God has been faithful, because God is good and God is faithful. It can be so easy to forget all of the times that God has come through for us. It can be so easy to forget all of the times that we've fallen short. It can be so easy to look at our lives and just block out and forget all of the times that God was faithful, because there's still times in our life where God hasn't been faithful. Or, to put it a better way, hasn't been faithful yet. And as we live in that yet, sometimes it's really easy to forget that God had been faithful all of the times that we needed extra grace in our lives, and Jesus was always right there with more grace when we needed it. when we did the things that we shouldn't, when we said the things that we shouldn't, when we fell down, and rather than kick us while we're down, Jesus helped us up and said, let's keep going. And it's so easy to forget those times. I want to invite you this Easter. I want to invite you this Easter season, today, tomorrow, whatever it looks like, and take some time to look back over the last 5 years of your life, the last 10 years of your life. Allow yourself to see the power of God in your testimony. We can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that it's other people that have a good testimony. We can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking, my testimony really isn't that remarkable. I need to have been in a gang and killed people and sold drugs and tried to kill the president or something, and then Jesus rescued me out of that. That's an impressive testimony. But for every one of us, the testimony of God being there when we needed him, the moments in your life that you would look back and go, I see the hand of God at work, that is no less impressive than anyone else's testimony. Amen. Train your eye to start looking at the presence of God in your life. Look at your life and you can start to see, wow, God opened that door. God gave me favor here. And God was faithful in this place, and that check came through when we didn't know that it would. It was a miracle, and we never should have landed this. And God carried me through this season that there was no way I was going to get through without him. It can be easy to forget all that God has done in our lives and for it to fall into the background, out of sight. But it matters so much that we train our eyes, train our hearts, train our souls to look at our lives and see God at work. To see the evidence that Jesus is in fact alive and at work in our lives. When Peter came into the tomb, he saw the evidence. Mary didn't see any of it. Mary didn't know what had happened. She didn't know. She knew Jesus wasn't there. But it says when Peter went in, he saw the evidence of what had taken place. Peter bull-rushed his way into the tomb, and when he was confronted with the evidence that Jesus, he wasn't there anymore, and the evidence showed nobody stole him. Nobody's taking his dead body, but unwrapping all of the linen and everything off of him, and placing it nicely just where it was. Peter saw it, the evidence that Jesus was alive. And you and me, we need to do the same thing with our lives. We need to train our eye to look at our lives and see where God is alive. That in no matter the situation we find ourselves in, we can recognize that God is alive. Verse 8. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. You know I'm faster than Peter, right? The third time in the last four verses, John makes a point of telling you this. Last week, as we talked about Jesus saying, it is finished, I told you that when Scripture repeats things, it's because it's important. Apparently, this was really important for John. I don't know if he didn't win much as a kid, that it was like, this was his one thing. I don't know, but John wanted you to know he reached the tomb first. And finally, the other disciple had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. The empty tomb changed everything. Peter and John came to check out this tomb, check Jesus out. But Jesus wasn't there. And John, it says, believed. And you and I are put in the same place as John. When you think about the empty tomb, do you believe it? As you're presented with the empty tomb of Jesus, do we believe it? The Bible says that if we don't believe it, if the empty tomb isn't what it is, then we should just eat, drink, and die. 1 Corinthians 15:32 says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That if there is no empty tomb, none of this matters. It's all worthless. And Paul will go on to say, in fact, if the empty tomb isn't an empty tomb, we're all liars. And more than that, we're to be pitied above anyone else. Because the empty tomb is the foundation of who and what we are. In other words, if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, there is no reason to live. There is no hope, there is no future, and there is no faith. But Jesus wasn't there. Jesus wasn't dead anymore. Jesus was alive, the tomb was empty, and the empty tomb filled John with hope, and he believed. The empty tomb is a vital part of this story, which is why all four gospel writers describe it in detail. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all talk about the empty tomb. However, after Jesus was raised from the dead, after God raised Jesus from the dead, that tomb was empty, but it was full of hope. There was nothing in the tomb, but the tomb was full of hope. One of the most precious gifts that God has given to us as his children is hope. For all of us to know what it's like to walk through a cemetery of broken dreams. All of us know what it's like to journey through these times and these seasons where it is Mary in the garden crying. It is a cemetery of things that have fallen apart in our lives. Plans don't always turn out the way we thought they would. Family members and friends disappoint us because our expectations were unrealistic, or they disappoint us because they made bad decisions. The person who we work for can decide she no longer needs us, or the company can go bankrupt. Our health can fail us. Perhaps this is the message you need to hear today. You've lost a loved one. Your marriage is dissolved. You lost your job recently and don't know which way to turn. You are facing limitations because of your health issues, and you're not sure what your future holds. Your best friend moved away, or maybe they betrayed you like Judas did to Jesus. Maybe you've made bad decisions and are reaping the painful results. Like Mary outside of the tomb before she encountered Jesus, you have been crying a lot because your heart is broken. If that's you, I've got good news for you this morning. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he didn't mean it's over. He didn't mean it's done. There was more to his story. There was more that was going to come, which means that there's more to our story as well. That as we journey through life, whatever end we come to, we know that it's not the end. Because the end of death wasn't the end of Jesus. The same God who raised him from the dead will lift us up every time we fall. For this reason, that empty tomb shows us that Easter is about starting over when you thought all hope was gone. This is because disappointment and grief always have a connection to hope for those who love and trust God. We never have to settle for things as they are and give in to despair. Always and at all times, God is working on our behalf to bring good out of bad and new life out of death. As sons and daughters of God, we never come to the end of the road. We never come to the place where there's nowhere left to go. Because one of the most important characteristics of who our Heavenly Father is his ability to make something new. Does this mean we'll never walk through the cemetery of broken dreams again? Of course not. But it does mean we'll never walk alone, and it does mean that he will never leave us there. When John looked into the empty tomb, it changed everything. When Jesus died, there was a moment of despair. There was a moment where life fell apart. There was a moment with no answers. As Jesus was buried, the disciples had no idea what was happening, what is happening. And then it says that John, who got to the tomb first, looked inside the tomb, saw what was not in the tomb, and he believed. He had hope. Everything that was gone when Jesus died on the cross was now brought back to life in the empty tomb. A new day had dawned, a new hope was born, and a new view of life had opened up. Let the hope of Easter, of the empty tomb of Jesus, find its way into your heart. Trust the God who raised Jesus from the dead to help you pick up the shattered pieces of your life and lead you down new paths filled with people and opportunities which will make life good again. No, that tomb wasn't really empty after God raised Jesus from the dead. It was filled with hope. A hope that can change your life and it can change mine.
Oh, shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, @CSAirdrie on Twitter and @CornerstoneAirdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
Oh, fear is alive.
tree. The Lamb of God.
Gonna hold.